You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 Red Army. We're all in the house. This is another edition of Those Casual Reds show. I am the one they call Casey, sometimes Face. It's a different story. I'm coming live from the city of Los Angeles, the city of champions, the city of playoff teams. It's a busy city right now. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Manchester United coming off a fine win, a good win at Brentford. They showed some fight, showed some, to me, one of the best games I've seen this year from them in a couple years, actually. But it's good times. We're brought to you by Balorin Malukian and Shagidian. BMS is what they call. They're located in Sherman Oaks, California, where I reside. You can call them at 747-444-4444. Get that free consultation. They'll take care of you. 98 success rate. If you don't win, you don't get no dough. Don't quote me on that. I don't want to get hunt down by some lawyers. But anyway, got a fine panel here with me. I got Jeremy here in Los Angeles representing the city of the ad. What's going on, Jerm?
Yeah, what's going on, man? All smiles all around. W's all around for United and LA. Let's go.
Got my boy Bandito Mike, ACJ Mike. How you doing, my brother?
I'm better. Feeling much better. Glad to be with you guys on a Tuesday.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful Tuesday. And my guy out of Atlanta, GA, the home of the Georgia Bulldogs. The number five? No, I'm just joking. My guy, Mikey, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. Let's go Yankees, all right? Shout out to the Yankees. Shout out to original New York team going against the former New York team. And I'm sorry for my antics last week, everybody.
Yes, it's a beautiful thing. We'll get it. You know what?
It's all good, Mikey.
You don't want to know that. Nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Things happen when I'm not there.
Because we don't have your discipline when you're not here. We get wild.
Yeah. There's a lot of United fans.
We have new
fans,
people on the show and shit got out of hand, all right? It's all Logan's fault. So that's the bottom line.
And the guy, Cheese, out here in the west side, the best side. How you doing, my brother?
Man, you don't know. Big up, who forget? Big up, shut up, who forget? Shut up. Big up United. We're on the winning track. Hopefully we can keep it going on Thursday. And yeah, let's go Reds. Big up everybody who came out to the LA beach, the beach barbecue for the LA Red supporters. It was a beautiful day. Actually, their first get together since COVID outside of pub matches. First event since COVID. So big up Prezi, big up the Reds.
Big up LA Red Army. They do a good job. So here we are, coming off the win at Brentford. Thought it was a good win. We had a goal from Garnacho, a goal from, an exquisite goal from my guy, Rasmus. You know, we went down 1-0 early right at the half with a header. But let's get into it, how everybody talk about the match. Mikey, how'd you feel about the match?
I feel like this is a better win for us. All the noise coming in, all the naysaying, a lot of us had started the week, didn't think we would win. Me and Sean, shout out to Sean, predicted a 2-1 win together at the same time because we know ball. But, yeah, man, they took it. We weren't feeling that great at the start of the week before, but they took it to them. They took it to them, and that's something we want to see. There was times where they recycled possession. Played a little higher. Goalkeeper was off his line. dictating where the ball needs to be, played it fast a few times. I like to see that. Garnacho's goal, dog. Garnacho's goal. And I tell you, you know how hard it is to catch a ball mid-stride, open your hips, and place it the way he did and put it back and play the way he did. And that was special. That kid is special, bro. Every time I forget a little bit, he goes on a cold patch and I forget, and I'm like, man, I don't know. But he shows up and he's been showing up. You know, that starting spot is his. Everybody else got to fight for theirs. So great, great win, man. I'm happy, and hopefully this can start a streak.
Yeah. The consistency is what we need right now. And if we play more like that, I think we'll have a lot of happy Reds. My guy Bandito, give us your thoughts in the match.
A couple of tweaks, tactically and position wise. So Onana was like a third ball player, so giving a little more freedom to come out to play the ball. And really split Johnny Evans and the lit really wide. That allowed us to do that bounce pass, that wall pass, that you go, you know, those two, you go 90 degrees and you beat their press. And I was wondering about Litra, you know, out as a left back. He's not the greatest defending wide in 1v1 in open space, right? I think he did pretty well. And you have two left footers, right? Johnny Evans and Licha on the left side, two right footers on the right side. Delo back to his more natural right back. So a tweak from Delo's point of view is when he's on the left side, he inverts, right? And he's a right footer, so the angles are not great. In this game, he's responsible for the width. So he's getting up and down the pitch. And United seem to want to bring who's ever on that right wing, bring them into the half space. So we saw Marcus Rashford coming into the space, and then that allowed Bruno to go to his more favored, you know, left side half pitch where he got that assist. So Cheese was asking me about our midfield. You know, why do I think our midfield looks so much better? We really did have two pivots where we had like protecting the back line, and then we had a box. So we had Rashford and Bruno Fernandes. So we're kind of like overriding their midfield. And then of course the switch was coming to Garnacho, who's really looking lively. Even in the first half when we weren't looking that great, but and then the last tactical switch was going to Rasmus Højlund, where he's the target man and he's linking play. He said in a post-match interview, he said he didn't think about the defender on his back, just focus on the ball and use that big frame to just naturally shield the defender. And after a while, they in the second half, they stopped coming towards him. They just kind of conceded the ground, right? You don't want to go. And he made some nice turns. He manipulated the ball. And as a defender, you know, you don't want that guy, you know, attacking your line 1v1 with your keeper. So some nice little tweaks and it worked. And right. Great to see our attacking three getting involved in goals.
Yeah. I thought Rasmus looked really good. It looks like he's added something to his game. Those two turns were just so noticeably good, how he was able to pin the player and just turn and be part of the game. Something like he took a little bit from Zerski, but took it to another level, added more to it. So I was really happy with the Rasmus. Cheese, tell us your thoughts on the game.
Two little takeaways from me outside of stuff that we already talked about post-game. A disciplined and an active Marcus Rashford. Because I don't know if Ten Hag simplified any system or made shit easier for people, but I thought Marcus Rashford was pretty decent defensively and like disciplined defensively and like did a solid job for us. Like we weren't going back to Bandido's point about the midfield looking better this game around. Like the usual gaping holes that we were seeing in previous weeks where people were just running through us. Like I didn't see as much of it this week. Like we were solid, we were compact. I feel like Rashford held his position pretty well and like was get tracking back on defense. It was like I see you tracking back and like making an effort. Like it looked different in this past game. And Ten Hag getting a fucking yellow card, showing some passion on the sideline. Like that's my two takeaways.
That might be rude running rubbing off on him.
Yeah. Now he's trying all for it, man.
It's funny though. Speaking of Rashford, some people still think they prefer him on the left. Like they don't feel that that's his best side to be playing on the right. Like some people rather see Garnacho on the right still and Rashford on the left. And I thought Rashford, that was one of his best games in a while. Because
what do they want? What do they want from him? He scored. He got an assist on that side.
Word.
And Garnacho scored on that side. What do they want?
I tell you, Rashford did two crosses in that game. That was magnificent.
Yeah,
I like it. He seems more into the game when he's on the right side. To me, I don't know. I thought what they putting Garnacho on the left and Rashford on the right was looks like something should go forward with. But we'll see.
Let the man float. They can interchange. Yeah. They're intelligent ballers, man. Like,
yeah, they're fast, speedy wingers, right? One of the things I took away, Rasmus, this is one of his better games. To what you guys mentioned, his hold-up play was much better. His link-up play, this is one. It could be Xerxes rubbing off on him. Pause. Also, it could be Rude, right? Just the fact that he has Rude there, guiding him, showing him how to be a more complete striker. So seeing that from Rasmus, it's great because it's something that could be added to his game. He's such a young guy. So that's one of the biggest takeaways that I can take away from that. And the fact also, I mean, Onana's doing his thing, holding up, being that extra player so he can pass out from the back. But just all in all, also, I mean, you can't complain too much. It was a win. So Rashford with that pass, that was a beautiful assist to get Garnacho up there and get him scoring. Garnacho is always dangerous. So, I mean, all in all, great win, seeing passion from Erik ten Hag, which we want to see, and we got a W.
Let me talk. The one topic I want to bring up is the Delit and the handling of the cut on Delit's head. Bandito, you've seen a lot of sports. You've been around a lot of sports. You've seen players get hurt. You've seen players get cut. I don't understand, especially when it happened the second time, why the refusal to just bandage it up and not be an influence in the game. You don't want your training staff to be an influence on the game, negatively or even positively. How do you feel about that move?
Before I answer that, I'm going to acquiesce to the brother who's got his hand up. Go ahead, Mikey.
I'm sorry,
thank
Mikey.
You. I forgot what I was going to say just that quick.
Something good, though. Something wild.
It was something
good.
To get
us all in trouble.
The fact that you let me have it, I'm like, I don't
sorry, Mikey.
Oh, I was going to say, it could have been more. We could have had more goals in that game. Xerxes, Eriksen had a point-blank sitter he missed. Xerxes had one, I think, and he got in. He had one that he could have shot on. Like, we could have had more, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. I thought it was one of our best performances in months, even going back to last season, just for the simple fact we came out of the second half and were more energetic, we were more focused, and we had a desire to play. It's like we almost had an attitude in the second half. But back to you, Bandito, on the training issue.
Yeah, so I guess the yellow card and the conversation that was going on, even in the tunnel, I thought the blood was there, and that if he was going to bring him off earlier than that. The why did you choose a clear disadvantage for United to bring him off in that moment when you should have brought him off previously, right? So that's what
Rude was so upset about. So to United's credit, they showed a bit of mentality and a bit of fire. They kind of they used that, what they said, this injustice, to, you know, fuel a fire within us. So as far as the training staff goes, yeah, I mean, I was like, yeah, do the Terry the Butcher thing where they just, you know, wrap the beehive on it or something like that, or the Petr Cech kind of thing. But yeah, that's what the yellow card I read was about, is that they, you know, they, and then they continued this with the referees, like this moment they felt like the referee panicked and he brought him off when he should have, if he was going to bring him off previous to that.
I guess
also I think because it was the hair, like when you're bleeding from the top of your head, you're sweating also from the top of your head, right? So if you get like a cut or a gash, I don't have hair anymore. But when I had hair, I wrestle, so you could get a cut and a slash on your head, and you could bleed a lot more profusely from that. I think they weren't able to get it under control in the beginning, and then it got worse, and it got way worse. So I think the hair had something to do with the blood, but they should have just taken their time to take care of it initially, to do it during a set piece. But that's not why we conceded. We didn't concede because the lick wasn't there. It didn't help. But also, Dallo fell asleep on his man. He didn't put a body on his man. He fell asleep, and Pinnock is a big, strong, fast dude, and he was there. He figured it out really fast. Like, oh, you go sleep? Cool. Bullet header. Very fast. So we've seen it 1,000 times. You could defend with 10 men a header, but you can't fall asleep with a big, strong dude like Pinnock. It won't work.
You are, yeah. Absolutely. And
to be fair, Brentford is really good on set pieces. It's what you would say, like, teams lower on the table. It's kind of an equalizer for them, right? If they don't have the athletes to compete 11-11, it's a big equalizer for them. And Brentford is one of those teams that is very good on set pieces.
Did you guys think Bruno's role was a little bit better?
I think he played better.
I think so, because he was higher up the pitch, especially in the second half.
Yeah, he had a sweet pass.
I've been saying I want him to drop back behind the number nine and not be like a dual false nine. And it depended on like the time of the match. So sometimes he would drop back. Like I said, the way we were building up from the back, it required him to drop in. But then when we're moving the ball through the middle third, he's going to go be on the front line and be that creative player. And then even with the lead, maybe the last 10 minutes or so, we saw him splitting the center backs, being that like regista, where that's normally Eriksen or Licha would be, you know, that back three. So a really diverse game from him, a mature game, and a more complete game. You know, he's going to give the ball away because, you know, the audacity that he has to try some of these passes. But he had a very nice pass completion percentage. And like I was talking to Cheese, you know, no one else on the squad is going to pull off that back heel for that goal. You know, that's Bruno magic right there.
Yeah, that was
so
spectacular.
That's my opinion of his game.
And I remember hearing Bruno talking when he was away with Portugal, saying that, you know, he wanted to tell everybody that, you know, he's felt bad because he's not scoring a lot, but I don't want Bruno to focus on scoring so much. He can affect the game in so many other ways, and his passing is, it can be elite. And he just showed when he's trying to do other things, Bruno is a spectacular player. World class, if some people think, like me. But, you know, it was just a good game to see everybody get some positivity, fight towards the end. It looks like at halftime, I don't know who cussed the team out and got into him. I don't know if it was Ten Hag or Rude. But we came out as a different team because the first half was dreadful. The first half was absolutely dreadful. I thought we were heading for one of those games again. And then, you know, to go into the next match, what we're going to jump into, with a little positivity, not too much negativity around this club. We've got a big match coming on Thursday. And it's a match I want to win. That's a match I want to see us do well. What do you think, Mikey?
Jose returns to face Man United. We're at Fenerbahce, correct? Yeah, home game for him. I haven't really kept too much of an eye on Fenerbahce and their results. I'll be honest, I really don't care for Turkish football. They're very top heavy, and I feel like it's always Fenerbahce, Galatasaray, and everybody else can figure it out after those two guys, right? So I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh, well, you know, he's doing this and pretend I haven't been watching. I've seen Fred turn it up. I've seen clips of Fred turn it up. And look, Jose's gonna have a different mentality coming into this. He knows a lot of those guys that's there. It's not so many of them like in teams prior that played for him, but he's gonna know a couple of those guys there. He's gonna know their tendencies, and I believe Jose as a coach, he's doing it, his homework. He's probably looking forward and circling this game on the calendar. So, Man United got to be careful, bro. This could be one of those trap games. You know, like you can't look past this team, can't look past the quality they have, and I just want to see more of last week. I want to see more of it, though. I want to see the next level of that, right? Like, I want to see you have the ball for 70% of the time. That's all I want to see, and doing something with it, not just having it. So I'm looking forward to it.
Bandita, I see you.
Yeah, Fenerbahce got 90 points last year and finished second. So to what Mike is talking about, really – two really good teams, and maybe Bestica, you can say, is a decent side, and then kind of everybody else. So they brought in Jose, and they're not doing great. I think they're 7 or 8 points behind. I just looked them
up. They're fourth in the league right now. I just looked it up.
Yeah, so they're not hitting the ground running. They do have some decent players, a lot of former Premier League players. We know that they have Fred. Maxima from Newcastle. Tadic?
Dusan Tadic.
Yeah. Ten Hag's old captain at Ajax. So they've got some decent players. We know Jose, right? He's gonna make it very difficult for you and try to counterattack, and the dark arts are gonna happen. But wow, to go away and watch football in Turkey, in Istanbul, is fantastic. And the noise that's going to come out of that stadium and the whistle, they all whistle, right? It's like that's their boo. It is deafening. I had the chance to go see United play Galatasaray on the Asian side. Fenerbahce on the European side. But yeah, the football culture there and the fans, it's aggro turned up a little bit from the fans and the police. So fantastic for United fans to go over there. And you know, United has a colorful history playing football in Istanbul, both from Galatasaray and Fenerbahce. So should be a really good one.
Jeez, how do you think about the match coming up? What's your thoughts?
Man, I'm hoping for the best because obviously I've been down on United lately. Prior to the international break, even going into the Brentford game, I predicted them to lose. I was like, real Brentford could clout us 4-0 again. So I'm down for another solid performance like the one on the weekend and get the correct result, all the points. I'd love to see it happen. I don't know how. I don't know what kind of lineup he's going to throw together for this game on Thursday. So, like, legitimately hoping for the best. Like, hope and prayers, straight up. I hope the goals keep coming. That's for sure. I hope the goals keep coming. And I'm not ready to give up on Zerski yet either.
Anybody's giving up on Zerski is tripping right now. I mean, this guy's trying to find his way in his league. He's trying to find his way in his team that's not really, you know, we're not really firing. Other than the last game, you can't say we're really firing right now. So, yeah. You know, there was rumors that possibly Zerski was unhappy, and I guess he came on Instagram and debunked that. So,
yeah, I think people just
people need to just chill right now. You know, it's like they create shit just to have some controversy out there. And Zerski seems like the easy guy to pick on right now because, I mean, he's getting time, but he's not doing the things that everybody wants to. People are questioning if he's even a striker. You know, that's a lot of that going around. Jerm, how do you feel about the match coming up?
I mean, by no means is this going to be an easy match, especially just like what Mike Bandito just alluded to. Playing in Turkey is not going to be a picnic, right? A walking picnic. This is a hostile environment. This is going to be a good test for the lads to be out there. And just such a hostile environment to try to get the points. I see Marino. What is he going to do? He's going to try to get us on the counter. So we might be able to have most of the possession. We just can't, you know, fall asleep and give some easy ones on the counter attack. So, I mean, I want to get all the points, but by no means do I think this is going to be an easy win. I might see us winning 2-1 or 1-0.
Let me ask you guys this. If we get another good performance this match, another victory and a good performance, are you taking us seriously like we've turned the corner?
No.
No.
We need more than two wins.
Yeah.
Three wins in the streak.
Haven't we had, like, for the past 4 or 5 games, draws and losses? So, I mean, by no means 2 wins is going to be like we've turned the corner.
People are waiting to do that, too. They're waiting to be like, we're back, we're back. And it's like, no, we need to string together a few more wins.
That was our injury situation.
I mean, think about it. It's going to be a win against Brentford. Granted, their Premier League team and Fenerbahce. Come on, it's not. None of the elites.
Hey, let me tell you
something. Not even.
And Eric Ten Hag's first year after, what was it, that World Cup was in the middle of the season. We went on a 7-game win streak. That's the kind of run and consistency where we can say, okay, we're seeing the turnaround. We believe you. We're turning it around. We believe our eyes. We believe the results. I just want to see, again, consistency and a team that is not fragile, because it's going to take some mentality to play 90 minutes there. And the last thing you want to do is, you know, get up a goal or 2 goals and then concede. And we've got a bad record of it in Europe. So you just want to see that mentality and everyone just staying turned on and tuned in to what's going on.
Do you guys change your lineup? You going with the same lineup? Anybody who would want to play this game over another person?
Bruno can't play in this game. So
yep. Trying to get some rest.
It's gonna have to change. But
who would you put in there?
I'm all right with this lineup from the weekend, bro. It's because, like, once again, I'm back at this point where it's like, once we haven't won enough to say, all right, this works, that works. Okay, so I'm all right with him starting the same guys. It's crazy to think that, like, our center back pairings aren't, like, solidified yet. But I'm all right with this lineup, bro, honestly. I think we're professionals. We got ballers. These guys are ballers. They're not the bums of old. And we should be able to get this game at least by a goal. I'm already say 1-0.
Ugarte starts in place of
Ugarte. Ugarte, who else?
Because I just want to know if your midfield is Eriksen, Casemiro, Ugarte.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. I let Erickson play up a little higher because he doesn't have the legs to He doesn't have the legs to run around to like back, before. Yeah. But you know what? I'm gonna take away that legs thing because as of late he's been electric. You know, he doesn't he looks like he's in good shape. Like he looks like an Erickson before you know, the heart stuff. So before Brentford. So
before Andy Carroll.
Yeah, I'm all right with starting with, but the wings got to stay the same, striker the same, defense the same. Leecha might have to play that left again. It's all right. And you know, keep those guys the same, man. Everything. I just want to see a style of play now. Like, is the style of play what we did on the weekend? Are we playing that way again? Is that what we're gonna do, or are we gonna be able to improvise if need be?
The thing with Casemiro, I'm seeing that I know he was taken off. So is he for sure? Is he a game time decision type of thing? That's what I'm reading here.
That he with had Casemiro. A knock.
Yeah, it says that he's set to be assessed ahead of Thursday's game.
I haven't heard anything about that, honestly. Cap. Is anybody we got coming back from injury? No, huh?
No, maybe Mount might be in the mix.
No, he's not. Don't even do that to yourself.
You know what? Casemiro had a decent game. He was his job was to disrupt and win the ball back, and you know, he even took a couple of shots from distance, just to keep him honest. One of his better performances for a guy that was like no legs, he's done. Speaking about Erickson as well, right? He's strung together some decent games.
Let me get some comments in here, Casey. Let me get some comments in here by Jeff. He says, "What up, fellas? Cheese, open your eyes, red eye Jedi." And he also says, "I feel like it's rare we see the same lineup nowadays. Always injuries or tactics changes seems to be the common theme."
If Mourinho comes into this game and wants to play open, he's going to have a hard time. I don't feel like with seeing some of these guys that they have starting, I don't feel like they can go toe-to-toe with us playing open. They won't last that way. But if they hit us on a break, we just got to be resilient and be okay with breaking them down. Now, I'm not saying he's coming in there to park the bus. I don't think that. But I do think it'll be a defensive-minded game, a Mourinho-esque game. So, you know, we got to be ready for that. I think Man United's biggest problems, one of the biggest problems we've had, we had a lot of problems. One of the biggest problems we had is breaking teams down that are okay with getting a goal and then just setting up shop or playing more defensively down the stretch. Whether that be for fatigue reasons or because they have the lead, a lot of these teams know to do that with Man United. They know Man United is not good with set pieces. Man United is not good in link-up play as far as to get leading to goals, right? A lot of times, individual brilliance that'll be, you know, one guy get open, two guys make a play, and then we score. And, you know, so a team game is what's needed for sure. It's always needed. But we need a team goal. Starting from the back, starting from defending to the front, clear, concise passes, triangles, and getting guys in position to do things. And I feel like they don't want to play with us open.
No.
Yeah, Mikey, that reminds me of that Højlund goal. So it all started from a pressing situation. We're all pressing, like pressing triggers and everyone high energy. And we forced Brentford just to punt the ball along, right? Which is what you want to do as a press. Throw, you know, 50-50 ball. Leecha, very aggressive defender, jumps in front of it, chest it down, gets it to Erickson, who plays it through the lines, and then Bruno's brilliant, you know, heel, and then a really confident, death silky touch finish. So it all kind of wrapped around. It kind of was like everything you're talking about, like pressing, winning the ball, energy, you know, and then transitioning into, you know, a dangerous position and then finishing.
Yeah, I honestly, I really believe Mourinho, everything we're talking about, you know, he's going to think the same way. I think this is going to be a game. He's going to test our patience. He's going to really test our midfield. And we should excel over these guys. I watched them the last game they played, and defensively, they're not athletic. It's easy to get around them. It's easy to run past them. But one thing they do want to play the ball through the middle offensively. So it's going to be a midfield battle. Hopefully, Garce and Casemiro get their roles figured out. I don't know who you play deeper. Is it a double pivot? But it's definitely, from what I saw on the two videos I watched about them, they like to go attack the middle, draw you in, and then pass it out. But they always want to go through the middle first. It's going to be a fun game. I think it's a. If they play well here, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I think they have turned the corner. Because if they this game is going to be a real test. This is going to be their biggest test of the year. It's Mourinho.
He's a bigger test than Liverpool?
No, but
we already failed our biggest test.
Twice.
Okay, so I think
we scored three on Southampton, and we all thought like, "Oh, we're mint. Like we're back. We're gonna win. We're gonna go top four." You know, hey, one game at a time. One game at a time.
Yeah, that's fact. It's one game at a time. You're right about that. Any news you guys want to talk about, lady? You guys want to talk about this Xavi stuff that he's been allegedly contacted twice? Is that something we even want to deal with? He's the next guy in the coaching tree.
Ineos being Ineos.
Xavi from Barcelona?
Oh, yeah. Matt, we're talking about the player.
Xavi Alonso. Yeah. So the rumor is that he's learning English so that he can tell Ineos, no, he doesn't want the job in English.
Oh, man.
Man, listen, we don't need a new coach. We got a coach. We got a coach.
That's true.
We got a
coach.
That's
very true.
Like it, that's love it, whatever the hell you want to be. You want to be 10 hog in, 10 hog out, whatever. We got a coach. Let's just get behind them, you know what I'm saying, and buckle in, take it a game at a time, and just realize that, like, as much as I'm on Ineos watch still, and I was a little upset, you know what I'm saying? Listen, that goal, I was at the pub for this game, and I shouldn't have been, right? I was there to meet some people, but I got flaked on, so screw them. But after that goal went in, like, I was like, oh yeah, Ten Hag, bro. I was at wit's end with Ten Hag there, and it wasn't his fault, but it was just a matter of like the moment. It's like, oh, again, is this happening again? And I gotta stop being so moment driven, right? And I think we all gotta do that. We all gotta stop looking for the moment for us to be back. We can win 10 games straight, and I'm not gonna feel like we're back. I only will feel like we're back.
Really?
I see a style of play that is working, not something that's not working. I want to see something that's working and that's exciting. I feel like that last game was exciting. We had multiple chances to score. We had multiple pressure, like a lot of pressures. There was a lot of times we got the ball, we looked good. And then maybe our touch failed us or failed on a cross or whatever. But we looked good. And that's what we've been missing. So I just want to see more of that, bro.
The biggest testament for Erik ten Hag is that we came out the second half and played better. So to me, that's the coach taking the opportunity to make adjustments, talk to his team. And that's something we haven't seen all year. So that, to me, shows that ten Hag is fighting. And like you said, we do get driven by moments, and it's hard because we all look at the media and we all in the our mood of our fan base can be so crazy sometimes. But right
we
now,
we stop getting shitted on. We want to stop being the butt of everybody's joke. You know, Man United has brought us down to such a point now that people are feeling bad for me at the pub. Like they're like Liverpool fans are like, oh man, you guys will be back. Y'all will be back. And it's like, don't touch me. I don't like being humble. Humble ain't in my book. Mm-hmm. I don't know about being humble. I know about being victorious, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Sustained
type of play and for a longer period of time, right? Or just a bigger body of work, not just one game or a moment. But we want something that's sustainable for a long period of time that stays here. And that's when we become dominant. Speaking about some rumors, I was telling you guys earlier, right? And I was looking it up.
What you think about, Mikey, if we were rumored in the running for Alphonso Davies as a left back, replacing Luke Shaw?
Do it now and spend everything. Spend the roof money on it.
I mean, he's 23 years old.
Spend your wife's life savings on it. Oh, I'm telling you. That guy is, I love that kid. I've been loving him. He's been in the game. To him to only be, what, 23, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's been in the game a long time, like at a top level, playing at a top level, representing his country at a top level, even though Canada's whack. But Canada's had a better record in the last 2 years than like a lot of national teams. Hell, they went.
He's the best player in the CONCACAF.
They toe to toe, Argentina almost beat him. So,
yeah, I think he was 20 years old in FIFA's 11, right? Something like that.
He's probably the fastest player in the world. He's smart. He knows what to do with the ball. He could defend. It's not just pace. It's defending. It's knowing what to do with the ball. He's that defending winger, right, that plays at the back that you need in today's game when you want to talk about inversion and inverting guys, right? Because everybody's an inverting team now. Nobody plays 4-4-2 and just – you're look, when I played football in high school, it was my job at left back was block crosses. Come back and block crosses and play the ball to the midfielder. And you stay back here and you block damn crosses. That's your job. On your 1v1s, handle your job. Get the ball to the winger. That's it. Nobody plays that anymore. We're playing an invert. But Alphonso Davies, he could do that, bro. He could do that. Spend it.
Yeah, I mean, Real Madrid, just said, like I said, it was looking like they're going to get outbid if United do it because their money's going to go out to Trent, possibly. So who else can spend Trent's the money to get us?
Trent is not trash. Stop. Stop.
He's Stop. Trash.
Stop. You know, I know you love United, bro, but you got to be objective. Stop.
So we're going to get into some youth player talk. Bandito's going to talk to us about two youth that's coming on the scene.
And the ladies, too, please. Somebody drop some. Show some love to the ladies, man.
Yeah, the ladies are both.
Unbeaten still.
Proper United team.
Come on, nice. Now. Go ahead, Bandito. Take it away.
Yeah, so a lot of people are talking about Harry Amass and being able to come in at that position, right, to take Luke Shaw's position. So I just want to touch on two players. One of them, Harry Amass, who plays left back. He's only 17. He's playing with the 21s. So in youth football, we talk about the gap between U18s to U21s, but it's a massive jump from 21s to first team Premier League football, right? So Harry Amass is somewhere in between that 21 and Premier League football. I would not say that he's Premier League ready at the moment. So I had a chance to see him at EFL Trophy. If you don't know what that is, EFL Trophy is League One and League Two teams play with Premier League 21 teams in a knockout tournament, similar to League Cup, right? So it's a chance for the 21s to play grown men's football. And it's all away. So as a United fan, you get to go to these little smaller League One and League Two grounds. It's fantastic. One of my favorite competitions outside of FA Cup. So I saw him against Doncaster. This is a League One side. And he looks mint with the ball. He's almost like a little Luke Shaw. You know, he's like small, stocky guy, wants to carry the ball, wants to come in, send crosses on that left foot. Some of the critique of him, or where he needs to develop, let me say, is, you know, he's a defender. So you got to defend. And out of possession, we saw Gabriel Jesus in the Arsenal game in the summer just really make him look like a kid, like he is, right? So I would say he is improving in that area. He's not a finished product. He did look really good when he came on in the second half against Doncaster. Now, I also saw him in Berlin Hertha. It's called the Premier League International Cup. So this was in, you know, 21s versus 21s. and he looked like the best player on the court. He was fantastic. He'll take the ball, take a positive first touch, and just really get forward and get involved and show some good positional awareness and, you know, where tracking his man and look really good. Like I said, probably looked the best player on the pitch. So I don't think we should be throwing him into the first team. He's not there yet, and I think that would kind of hamper his development as a young player. Second player I hear a lot about is Ethan Wheatley. Big kid banging him in the U18s last year. He's set to be 19. So he's playing with the 21s. And again, so I got a chance to see him playing against grown men in Doncaster. And this is a league one side, and they're two center backs. It's kind of like an older veteran and then a young kid, maybe like 23, 24. And Ethan Wheatley was lost. I mean, they done him. They used, you know, they isolated him. He wasn't able to drag them out or drag them off position. And he just had a really, really frustrating game. It got a yellow card for like kicking the advert board. So you could really see his frustration. And the ball was coming to him, and he was already thinking about the contact because he'd been bullied all night. However, against 21 and against Berlin, he looked ace. He was receiving the ball, kind of like Rasmus Højlund, you know, big player. He can receive the ball, link up. He can make the turn. He had an assist, run into space, and then laying the ball off. So again, we want to throw these kids into the first side, and they're not there yet. They're more like get them a cameo for 10 minutes, and you know, let them run out there and try to score a goal, or you know, get them out there to get some experience. But when they're playing against seasoned professionals, they're not quite there yet. So the EFL trophy is a good way to get young players experience playing against grown men, right? Seasoned vets in a really rough and tumble league. So we want to see more of that. And then I think that will kind of help them transition. You know, it's a big jump, like I said, that 21 to, you know, Premier League football is a big jump. And, you know, we follow these kids since they're like 14. Well, I do. I follow some of these kids. They're like 13, 14. So loans don't always work out. But it's very rare for, you know, a youth player to really make an impact on the first team. It just shows how special Kobe Mainoo and Garnacho are. So that's my assessment after seeing these two players up close and, you know, right, you know, 6 feet in front of me. But yeah, they're ones to watch in the future, obviously.
What about Sekou Kone? He's training with the first teamers, and he's a under 21, just signed for $1 million. Defensive midfielder.
Yeah, he's a Ghanaian player, I believe, or yep. Senegalese.
To be the real deal wonder kid. He just started. Ten hours,
so people are talking about him kind of making the jump over Collier.
Really?
Probably being the next one to be working the team over Collier. Collier is kind of seen as like Scott McTominay with maybe a little bit more quality, whereas Sekou Kone is kind of seen as like, okay, this is a kid you could really mold into a real playmaker. That's what I'm hearing.
I don't know if I might like that one. I don't know if that's a positive
review. Well, that's good to know. I thought we would have seen Amaz play a little bit more this year, but you know, like I said, he's a kid. You know, you can't throw these kids into the fire. I know we want these young kids to do well, and sometimes as United supporters, we get carried away and we overpromote them, and that's our own mistake. So let's everybody give me a quick prediction for the score against Fibonacci, and then we're going to wrap it up and get up out of here. Watch my Lakers do that.
2-1 United. 2-1 United.
I'm gonna go with the 2-1 myself.
I go 0-1 United.
This has been another one of those Casual Red show. We'll be in the studio next week. Shout out to Sam. Get better, my friend. I want to thank Mikey, Cheese, Bandito, Jerm for joining me. And hopefully next week we're going to be real happy with some wins.
Yes, sir.
Time will tell.
I see everybody at the pub this weekend. Sorry I missed.
See you at the pub.
Y'all have a...
Those Casual Reds with Kate Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
My head, you could be my body. what this is between you and me. Oh, I never knew it. How could you have loved me? For all I am was broken. A picture perfect make believe. Don't feel like being lonely. Cause all I have is haunting me. You're on the right side, pulling me in like there's no place left for me to hide. Don't feel like being lonely. So lean in and take over me. I will whisper to you. I'll say your name. Show you all I'm made of. Can you do the same? Do you wanna tell me what this is between you and me? Oh, I never knew it. How could you have loved me? For all I am was broken. A picture perfect make believe. Don't feel like being lonely. Cause all I have is haunting me. You're on the right side, pulling me in like there's no place left for me to hide. Don't feel like being lonely. So lean in and take over me. For all I am was broken. The picture perfect make believe. Don't feel like being lonely. Cause all I have is haunting me. You're on the right side, pulling me in like there's no place left for me to hide. Don't feel like being lonely. So lean in and take over me.
get some sleep tonight. It's not too quiet outside. And no, I could get some sleep tonight.